Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I thought it was time for us to get back to the biggest reason I started this show. Although I do like to have lots of variety, and I do like to talk about the issues that are going on in our world out there, because very sadly, when they become an issue, they're a part of everything we talk about in regard to being unkind to each other. But today, while I was doing some researching and looking through some more of the Golden Rule pamphlets that come from our friend Izzy Kalman, I found an interesting article that very sadly took place in Duval County, which is here in Florida. And it was on CBS News not very long ago. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about why the reasons for turning things around and why rules and courts and all of the ideas of punishment and making everybody stand guard to keep everybody behaving themselves, when we should actually be teaching everybody to do unto others as they would have, as you would have them do unto you. Very, very simple. After a violent attack on a middle school student in Jacksonville, Florida, a judge said he'd seen enough. Pardon me. He banned the teenage attacker from the area's public schools, but that decision put school officials in an unusual position. 2 months ago, Aria Jewett was lured into a fight near her middle school. "I tried to walk away," Jewett said. "I didn't even know it was coming." The cell phone video of the assault is hard to watch. Her attacker, another 14-year-old eighth grader, slammed Jewett's head into a stone wall. After she fell, defenseless, the attacker sat down and beat her repeatedly. Jewett estimates 30 kids watched. Now, I watched this video, everybody, online, and all these kids are standing around with their phones pointed, and this young girl straddled the chest of Aria and pummeled her. She had everyone else videotape it, Jewett said. She had the girl bring me over there. She probably had this planned. Jewett suffered a fractured skull. Her attacker was arrested for aggravated assault and removed permanently from Ocean Way Middle School in Jacksonville. Jewett said her attacker has a history of videotaped assaults like this. She claims to have seen 5 of them, and she still never got expelled or anything. Jewett's family asked Florida Circuit Judge Henry Davis to protect their daughter. His ruling about the attacker surprised even them. "This child is a threat to all of the children at any school. The injunction is a permanent injunction barring this child from returning to any public school in Duval County," Davis wrote in his ruling. "I don't think we should use the bad decision that children make outside of school as an example or a scapegoat to make a message," Vitti said. Nikolai Vitti says public education is a constitutional right, and all 130,000 students in Duval County's public schools deserve second, even third chances. "I believe the perpetrator should be provided the same opportunity," Vitti said. "It's a tough decision, but my role as superintendent is to support the law." A lawyer for Jewett's attacker told CBS News in a statement, "Our goal is to return our client, a child, to a public school so she can complete her studies for this academic year." Just last week, a Florida appeals court suspended the order banning her from all Duval County schools. She should be back in class on Monday. Now, again, Nobody likes to see a kid get in trouble.
Nobody. And as a mom, in my lifetime of raising kids and taking care of kids and watching other kids, you do everything you can to believe the best in a child. It's human nature in most cases. And most of us don't want to see a kid ruin their lives because they're being immature. 14 is very young. And this is kind of sad, this whole story. But what bothers me more than anything is we finally get a judge who's going to take a stand, so to speak, and send a message out there that the kids can't behave like this. And it gets overturned. I see both sides of this subject. For those of you who don't know, I'm a Libra. Balance is very important to me. So I almost always see both sides of a story. But here we have, first of all, repetition. Beating at least five other girls. Does anything else scream out at anybody out there? Does anything say that this is not about being expelled from school? This is not even about this last incident. This is a cry from a kid who's got a problem, a major problem. And when we talk about bullies, that's usually what we're talking about. We're usually talking about somebody who believes they're a victim. Izzy taught me that. He made me understand that very clearly. And 9 times out of 10, if you intervene in a fight between two people, I don't care if you're talking about 2 14-year-olds, 2 5-year-olds, 2 50-year-olds, they're both going to tell you that they're the victim. They may not use those words. They may not say, Rini, I'm the victim here. Yell at her or yell at him. They won't say that. But when they tell their side of the story, they absolutely, positively will sound like the victim. So what Izzy has been trying to teach all of us is rather than set up rules and all these different opportunities to call the police or call the teacher or call the principal or report it to anyone, what really should be happening is there should be more education, not in regard to what to do when somebody is beating the hell out of you. It's too late then. But when you see somebody has a particular disdain for you or seems to be like on your case a little bit or maybe singles you out in the crowd to say, where'd you get those shoes, Kmart? Anything. That's when you have to turn it around. Now, if any of you listened on the nights when Izzy and I did role-playing, I must tell you, it worked so well. I mean, I would get my teeth into the part of being an irate friend, an irate parent, and the minute he turned things around, when he played the recipient of my anger, first of all, when it was between a family, you know, a problem with a family member, and you see love and respect coming from the other person that you're mad at, that stops you right in your tracks. So I've had people say to me, well, yeah, but if the person hates you, it's not going to do the same thing. Well, you're right. It doesn't do the same thing. What it does then is it takes all the fun out of it. It takes the challenge out of it to see if they can get the best of you. If you turn the one night
we did some specific name calling. And we know that a lot of our kids that are expressing their individuality sexually are being harassed constantly. And we have some that are taking real stands and trying to change the world as we know it. Kudos to them. But then there are some, you know, that pretty much get driven into the fence and expected to stay stapled there until they either change their mind or the other person goes away. But if you, when somebody approaches you, or like I said, if you know somebody is taunting you just a little bit in the beginning, you have to turn it around. You have to say, you know, I get the feeling you don't like me. Are you mad at me for something? Did I do something to you? Instead of shaking in your shoes and getting all upset and maybe saying something back, to keep the momentum going, you stop it. Think of a volleyball game. Everybody's played volleyball. Volleyball is one of those sports that if the other team doesn't hit the ball back over the net, it's not much of a game, is it? It's just really not much of a game. Somebody's got to sock the ball back over the net. Otherwise, you're playing all by yourself. Am I right? So, let's look at it like that. If you don't let somebody get to you, and if you say, geez, you know, I'm sorry if I did something to you know, make you mad or you think, or maybe you heard somebody said I said something about you or something. I didn't say anything about you. I barely know you. And there's really no reason for you to be angry with me. And stand your ground, but stand your ground with a valid point. I'm not going to promise anybody, and I don't think Izzy promises anybody either, that you can change somebody who is hell-bent on making your life miserable. But you can definitely throw a little bit of water on the flame. Instead of throwing more wood on the fire, throw some water. Douse it out a little bit. Keep it from getting to a bonfire stage. If you do that, if you take all the fun out of what somebody thinks is entertaining, they lose interest. And I think the volleyball game is a great analogy. I think that when you realize, you know, the old sayings, it takes two to tango, all those old kinds of sayings, it's the truth. So if you don't volley back, if you don't punch the ball back, eventually, you know, either they keep hitting all the balls over the net and there's no balls left to play with, or they just get fed up trying to play by themselves, is the gist of it. So some of the rules that go along with the bullies to buddies ideas and the golden rule system does something else for us. What do you suppose it is? Does anybody out there have any idea what it actually does for our this generation of kids that's coming up in a time when things can be incredibly mean and guns in schools are commonplace and there's so much violence and there's so much painful actions taken upon each other? What it does is it teaches us. It teaches us to, first of all, take care of ourselves because, you know, you're not always going to be walking around with your mom or your older sister. Or you remember that movie that they made a long time ago where the kid keeps getting the hell beat out of him and he hires the big kid in school that everybody's afraid of and pays him all of his allowance to protect him? I think about that a lot and I think to myself, that's really not a bad idea. You know, I mean, at least he was innovative and figured out a way to keep himself safe. But, you know, that's not a long-term plan. And if that's what you become accustomed to, then you'll never know how to handle this yourself. The goal should be to know how to handle people that are abusing you. The goal should be is to keep yourself safe. Education and learning the right ideas about how to stick up for yourself without joining into the frenzy, without igniting more of the fire and the hatred. The problem with turning everything over to authoritative figures, first of all, they're not there, so really is not so right for them to make judgment calls. Although I must say, if somebody showed me video, if I was sitting on a bench and somebody showed me video of the same 14-year-old girl having a bunch of other kids videotape me or seeing this girl beat up all these other kids, I would have to do something. But I'm not sure just having her expelled and permanently barred from all the schools is the right idea. And of course, because this judge, now listen carefully, this judge hit the ball back, you see, so the game could keep going because somebody stood up, another member of this girl's team, and volleyed the ball back over. That's a big part of the problem. So if he'd have said, I want this young woman taken out. I want a complete makeup done of her. I want to know what's going on psychologically, what's going on academically. I want to know what the problem is that she finds it necessary to beat up on this many of her peers. Something's wrong. I want to meet her family. I want to see what's going on. Right? Doesn't that seem more like a good judgment call? Doesn't that seem more like a more, I'm interested in everybody, not just whoever's crying in my face? As a mom, and I've talked about this before, and as a supervisor, the boss, two or three people come in my office screaming at the same time about something, and I make everybody be quiet. I say, okay, tell me your story. One at a time. I listen. And while I'm listening, everybody else is listening. And sometimes when you hear the other side of someone's story, even when you may be the opposite side, I've seen looks on people's faces that are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, this is the way I felt this happened to me. This is the way I felt this happened to me. So if somebody had helped this girl, there wouldn't have been the repercussions of somebody else stepping in and just putting her back in school, so now she got no punishment. Somebody stuck up for her. What did that teach her? What did that teach anybody? What did that do for the poor kid that had a concussion? What did that do for anybody except waste time, money, man hours from very highly paid people? It's not the answer. One of the things that that Izzy has written in one of his pamphlets is about this part of things in regard to the process of conducting bullying investigations and hearings, meeting with parents, writing and filing reports, and punishing children is extremely stressful and time-consuming, wasting resources that should be spent on education. But even worse, it escalates hostilities among students, parents, and faculty. As each child and their parents fight to have the school judge in their favor, worse acts of aggression are set into motion when the alleged bullies seek revenge against the children and the staff who got them in trouble. Of course. There's a shocker, right? We get that, don't we? If somebody tells you, if you're in an argument with somebody, and say you're two friends, say there's three of you, three best friends, right? This happens every day as well. three best friends, and you get into a little discussion about something that turns into an argument because it actually starts out to be, you know, friendly, and then things get said because as the temperatures go up, so does the hostility, so does the anger, so does the adrenaline. Everything starts pumping even faster, and pretty soon words are falling out of your mouth that you're going to be sorry later ever got past your teeth. Okay, so a third person, who's your friends also, they step in to intervene. And mistakenly, they end up taking a side because everybody thinks that you have to find out who's wrong and who's right because that's what makes the most sense. If you're having an argument, you must be wrong and you must be right or vice versa. When in actuality, it's all about perception and it's all about the whole story, which is seldom realized in an argument. So, if you take the time to calm down and talk about something very important, and I talk about this a lot on the show as well, your feelings are hurt. We get very testy, very aggressive when somebody hurts our feelings. It's not the first place we go, but it ends up getting there. The first place we go is when somebody hurts, when somebody does something that we don't like, we don't identify it as having our feelings hurt. We identify it as being angry. How dare you say that to me? Where do you get off telling me that? Who do you think you are? Then, after a little bit of time, sometimes it's only a matter of minutes, you realize that this person has hurt your feelings. And that's when we get significantly more engaged in the argument. Because now we're not only angry, but we're hurt. And in a lot of cases, that compounds so fast that sometimes you don't even realize what you're saying. So again, having a little bit of, I don't know, decorum maybe is a good word, when you realize that somebody is angry. It's not always true either that if a fight ensues between two people that they're both angry, not at the beginning. So whoever still has their wits about them has to have enough sense to calm things down. And I don't think you can necessarily teach all of us that if we don't possess a little bit of that now. But I do think we should be capable of teaching kids that. And I surely think if they're preschoolers and kindergartners and first graders, I surely believe we can teach them that and show them the difference between giving into a fight or volleying the volleyball back over the net so that the game can go on, is not always the answer. How about you envision yourself, somebody slaps that volleyball over to you, and you just catch it and hold it in your arms for a few minutes and say, can we talk about this? Because I don't know what you're so angry with me about. So can we talk about this and find out what's going on here? But if you just slap the ball back, now you're in the game. And now you're doing exactly what the other guy wants you to do. You're participating in this encounter. And it's not going to turn out well for you if after the encounter, you're the one that gets hurt, and then you turn around and try to get somebody else to fix it for you. If you look at it like that, does that even make sense to you? Of course it doesn't. Most of us want to take care of ourselves. Most of us want to stand in a place where we know that we're sturdy and strong and capable. I surely do not want to think that I have to stand around feeling intimidated and wait for somebody to come ride to my rescue. Hell no. That's not who I am at all. And I doubt that that's who most of us are. I see my Shelly has joined us. She must have had to work late tonight. I'm going to bring her in. Hi, Shell.
Hey, Ray. Yeah, I'm still trying to get out of the building.
I thought really that might be what was going on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got into a meeting. I didn't even realize how late it was. So.
Well, that's all right. We did some interesting things tonight, and I probably won't rehash everything. I can tell you about what I talked about in the very beginning. It's about a girl that has beat up 5 kids up in Jacksonville and videotaped all of them and set the girls up. And the last one she beat up got some, you know, pretty hurt. She had a concussion and all kinds of stuff happened to her, and it was all on video. And the judge said this girl is the danger to everybody in school, so he barred her from attending any schools in Duval County. And that overturned by legal representation from the superintendent of schools in Duval County. And he said that public schools are a right of American citizens, and you cannot bar anybody from getting an education. So, again, it proved the point that Izzy makes with us all the time. And that leaving these kind of situations in the hands of people who really aren't there, don't know anything about it. This judge thought he was doing a good thing, but he really wasn't. Because the analogy I made tonight was like playing volleyball. If you got 2 teams playing volleyball and you don't want to play anymore, you don't hit the ball back over the net. And the other
right.
team gets tired of just throwing all the balls over the net, because if nobody's going to hit them back, there's no game. It's over.
That's right.
So
you just don't engage it.
Exactly. And that's the same thing with any kind of altercation. If you imagine you're playing volleyball and you don't want to play, you don't hit the ball back over the net. So if somebody is aggressive towards you, or you're feeling like somebody is kind of out to get you, and little things, you know, like it doesn't have to be a punch in the nose or anything. It could be like, you know, you're standing in a whole crowd of kids out in front of the bus stop or something in the morning, and the same girl that picks on you all the time or the same guy looks at you and says, oh, look at those sneakers. Where'd you get those, Kmart? It could just be stuff like that.
Right.
So you know
right.
that
nasty,
that you're,
kind of insulting yeah. and yeah.
So you know you're being picked on, and you know that you're being singled out. So instead of saying, no, I didn't get my shoes from Kmart, but it looks like you got yours at Goodwill, instead of volleying back over the net, you say very simply, what'd I do to you? Are you mad at me about something? You know, if you don't like my shoes, you don't like my shoes. But is there something going on between us that I don't know about? I mean, you don't have to be kissy sweet. You don't have to be a sap. But you do have to stand up for yourself. And the whole idea of what Izzy is trying to teach everybody is that what makes you into a strong adult, is learning
right.
how to stand
right.
up for yourself and not be, Mom, somebody's picking on me. Or, Dad,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to school anymore because the kids on the bus are being mean to me. We don't want our kids to be like that. That's why so many
right.
parents make the mistake of letting that happen and say, well, stand up for yourself. Don't be such a baby. Because
right.
that's not the answer either. If that's happening and you're not paying attention, then you have to address it. But address it. Don't ignore it. And
right.
like I said, this judge, I mean, when I first read it, my first thought was, thank God, finally somebody listened. And then I thought to myself, now, is that what I'd have done? Because that's what I always think to myself, is that what I'd have done? And I thought, no. If somebody showed me, and I watched the video on the internet, if somebody showed me a 14-year-old girl who was aggressive enough to 5 different times, the girl that finally got something done about it was number 6, 8th
wow.
grade. If I knew that this girl was doing this all the time, I'd say, I want to meet this girl. I want to meet her parents. I want a workup done on her. I want a psychology report. I want a physical report. Something's wrong with this child. Not she's can't go to school anymore.
Right, right. Because that labels her as an incorrigible right then and there. And then you basically just concreted her future for her. You know, by just kicking her out of, basically what the judge did, and I understand what you said. My initial reaction was like, oh, okay, good. You know, they're probably doing something proactive. Mm-hmm. But then when you think about it, the superintendent actually had the right idea, because if you take a child and you basically say you can't be taught, you're incorrigible, you have basically now just concreted that child's future. Because if you're not going to give them an education, who will? They get kicked out of your school, what school is going to take them then?
Well, the other thing is that it gave her side the ball back. You see? Did I lose you, Shel? Yes, I must have. So they got the ball back. The superintendent had the ball, but he volleyed back and said, oh, no, you can't do that. So the game ended and the points went to her side. If the judge had said, I want to help this girl, my sympathy goes to the young woman who got beat on, but I do have some empathy for this young girl. What is wrong with a young girl who wants to beat up this many girls and have everybody video it? We need to find out what's going on in her life.
Well,
then he stops the game because he's just changed all the rules. You see, he's taken an interest in how many points the other team is going to have. He's not thrown the ball back and said, now do the best you can. He's actually changed all the rules. He's stepped up and he sees that this child is in trouble and needs some help. But again, this is the other thing that Izzy talks about. If we start doing that with everybody, when will the kids get taught? When will the judge take care of murderers? When will, there has to be something that we do on our own that is nonviolent, but shows some intelligence, gives our kids an opportunity to grow up into balanced, well-thinking, well-adjusted adults.
Exactly. Well, the whole thing is that I'm going to ask you something, because you've said this twice now, and I want to make sure that I'm understanding it. The girl who was being violent is the one that was having everything recorded?
Yes. She had all these kids. There were 30 kids, and she told them all. Nobody knows let's put it this way. It wasn't in the articles that I read why that was necessary for her to do, but yes. The young girl that did the interview that was hurt badly, she said these kids, it was all planned. They enticed her to come over, and then all the phones went on, and they were told to video everything by the aggressor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty bizarre that she would choose.
And what does that tell you? We're not professional anythings to speak like. I know what's wrong with her, but just as a person, just as an everyday person who has a lot of other people in their lives, people that you care about and everything, are you thinking that child's okay, Shel?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
exactly.
Something like that memorialized is not, well, first of all, it's not normal. It's not, but it's not normal in the way that you and I were talking about the other day, that it's not normal when you go so far afield from our basic nature, and our basic nature is to be kind and loving people. So when you want to hurt somebody and you actually want that memorialized on film, that's even taking it to a greater degree. I mean, did she want that for her own pleasure to be able to watch it over and over and over again? Or did she just memorialize because she wanted people to see what she was doing? Like she didn't want it to get on YouTube or something, you know? I don't know what the driving force behind that, but regardless of what the driving force is, regardless of what her motivation was, that is a huge red flag.
Yep. That's what I thought. And as I read it, And like I said, my initial response is, thank God we finally got somebody who's paying attention. And then as it sunk in, I was like, why isn't somebody helping her? Why isn't somebody
right.
doing something for a kid who thinks that that's all right to do?
Right.
So,
that's
again,
right.
it's more along the lines of what Izzy tells us. And the paragraph I was reading just before I saw the switchboard come on to say that you were on was about the investigations and the hearings and everything. Did you hear everything I said about that, about how annoyed everybody gets with each other? Well, pissed off is probably a truer terminology. Everybody, because everybody thinks they're right, so everybody feels as though they're being ostracized. And so everybody ends up getting angry. And he writes in it, is there no way out of this dilemma? And fortunately, there is a way out, and that is for our schools to be what they are meant to be, educational institutions. The purpose of a school is to educate children so that they can succeed in life. Children deserve to be taught not only academics and sports, but also the social skills for coping with bullying, for bullying goes on throughout life. Now, I don't think there's ever been a truer statement made than that one.
That's right. That's right.
Because we've talked about all the different scenarios where people are subjected to bullying. And they aren't just in schools, and they aren't just in the home. There are a lot of places. And, of course, that's what makes this such an epidemic. If they were just in school, we could really spend time analyzing what's going on in school to make it so prevalent in school, but it's not. The most bullying takes place in the home. I read those statistics one night quite a long time ago. And then, of course, school, and then the workplace. The workplace is heavily subjected to bullying. So, again, if we started out in grade school, and you see that the biggest amount of any kind of real violent bullying, for whatever reasons, ends up in middle school, 13, 14, and 15. They have the most problem controlling their raging hormones. And if nobody's paying attention, then they manage them themselves, and these are the kind of messes that end up. So, but the way Izzy has it all planned, Bullies to Buddies teaches principles that are promoted by all major religions and secular philosophies. It is consistent with all major schools or psychotherapy, including but not limited to cognitive behavior therapy, rational emotive therapy, transactional analysis, positive psychology, assertive training, and mindfulness. Those are all very simple feelings, emotions, if you will. And those are the kind of things that we have to get a handle on. And like I mentioned, I think, before you came online tonight, was the fact that in many cases, the worst part for the volleyball to begin is when your feelings are hurt. That's when you want to bash the ball back over the net. And that's what keeps everything going. Right?
Right. Right.
So if you, I said tonight, if you take the ball because you want to understand why all of a sudden they're slamming that ball over to you, and you just take the ball in your hands and hold it until you figure out what's going on. And
exactly.
That's just, you know, that's just a vision that you can do with yourself, and until you gain control over the game again. And
mm-hmm.
and I feel very strongly about the things that Izzy taught us with the role playing. I did it tonight with Diana because she got a call from a friend that she hasn't seen in a long time, and I was hoping they were going to call in tonight. And if they're listening, Diana didn't give me a lot of information, but apparently her daughters are going to some school, and they're beautiful. I guess the daughters are really, really gorgeous young girls. And they're being bullied by all the other girls in the school because they're too pretty.
Right.
And the girls don't even want to go to this school anymore. I mean, they're just being harassed no end,
and picked on. And I guess the girls that are taunting them are even saying, you know, things like you're too beautiful for this school and stuff like that. So how funny is that? I mean, when we talk about all the different variables that come with bullying, we've talked a lot about who thinks they're the victim. And chances are, girls that don't think they're as beautiful as these girls think they have a right to bully them because they're prettier than they are. Now, you know, that needs to be analyzed by somebody who knows what they're doing, right? I mean, somebody
That's
needs
right.
to talk
That's
that
right.
through with these kids. And it just amuses me because most of the time, but I should remember the story about the one little girl who looked like a little princess. I saw her picture and everything, and she was being picked on, remember? And then the mom got the friends together and had weekends mm-hmm. for her so that the little girl could stay in school and went all through high school and is now in college and everything and lived her whole life with these people who pretty much bothered her, persecuted her through her entire school years, but because she knew she had this safe zone with these other friends that she really bonded with, she made it through it with strength and grace and a very, very valuable lesson. And we have talked about the fact that bullies bully for any number of reasons, and they're not always really reasons that the rest of us can understand.
Well, when you talk about the girls that aren't as pretty bullying the two girls that aren't very attractive, you see that kind of stuff happen a lot with the domestic abuse. Very often it's the men, because you have a man there who's insecure. Maybe he can't hold down a job or whatever, but he's not feeling good about himself. So by taking the woman that is sort of vulnerable to him and making her feel less somehow, it makes him feel more. It makes him feel more in control. He's not in control of his own life, so he has to control another person. And it's almost like the same thing. Like, if these people don't feel good about themselves, so they pick somebody who seems to have it all right? And if they knock them down a peg, they feel like they're evening the score somehow. And that's, like, so not true. But their psychology takes them there, and the bottom line is that it's skewed. That means that person really, really needs help. And the person that's being bullied, like these two lovely girls, they need to be assisted in being proud of who they are, being comfortable with who they are, and not allowing the taunting to make them feel like there's anything wrong with being pretty or, you know, or being attractive. You know, the pendulum can swing both ways. You can have the really pretty girl being the one who's perpetrating the bullying because she thinks she's better than everyone, but not really, because if she really was that confident, she wouldn't bully anybody, you know.
Right,
so that's
right.
That's odd, you know. The bottom line is, anytime somebody acts mean to somebody else, anytime somebody tries to bring other people down a peg, that means that fundamentally they're not okay with their life. They're not okay with who they are. They're trying to even the score by bringing everybody down a peg, down to what they perceive as their level. And that is a huge red flag that person has self-esteem issues. Because somebody who's comfortable in their own skin, somebody who's comfortable with who they are, just really kind of goes along with the live and let live. They're not interested in making other people change, because if you're really, really comfortable with yourself, you tend to have an ease with how other people are, and it doesn't really bother you if somebody's better or worse than you, because you're who you are and you're fine with who you are.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that I've ever met that has a really strong self-esteem are people like you're a perfect example of that. You know, you really just care about people. You like the diversity of people, and you're extremely happy with who you are. And incidentally, so is everybody else.
Thanks, honey.
There you go. I got that in there.
Yeah. That only cost me 50 cents, you guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, and that's...
Yeah,
Yes, absolutely, and I agree completely. Well, that's why I'm saying, you know, I mean, I looked at this video. The girl, the aggressor, was a beautiful young girl, you know, and a very athletic-looking body and everything, and I'm thinking to myself, what could possibly be wrong? But you have to know something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong, and somebody needs to examine. Instead of the punishment, is I guess something needs to be done because she shouldn't be allowed to get away with hurting another human being. We've talked about that a lot. But in the same time, I mean, when I was a little girl, I was foolish enough to think that jail was so you learned a lesson. Isn't that how you grew up thinking about jail, that jail was to teach you a lesson to not do something bad again?
Yeah.
I mean, to keep it very simplified, it was yeah. just, you know, the sheriff put you in jail.
It was supposed to rehabilitate you.
Right. But, I mean, think like a really young kid, and rehabilitate's kind of a big word for a little kid. So I'm just thinking, like, if you saw that somebody went to jail, it's because they were bad, and you're going to put them in jail until they learn their lesson, just like sitting you in a corner or sending you to your room. That's what they did to grown-ups. And then as I got older, I realized that wasn't necessarily the true. It might have been why it was designed originally, and I've never read anything that tells me that now that I'm an adult. But somewhere along the line, I think somebody thought they were doing the right thing. And there are some people who deserve to be locked away. I also realize that. Some people that are not suitable to be out with the public. But again, those people need some help. And we talked about this one night, too, a while back, about sometimes the bully or the aggressor needs more help than the child that's being bullied.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and it is something that needs to be reckoned with somehow, not just ignored like we don't care, especially if we sit in a seat that can make a difference. And I think that's one of the things that's disappointing, you know.
You know that whenever you read, and they're chilling, so I don't really go there, but whenever you hear anything about, like, serial killers, which is obviously an extreme case, I mean, that's not bullying, that's somebody who's, you know, committing crimes. But
a psychopath,
the point
right.
I'm making is, whenever you learn about serial killers, in almost every case, they went through some horrific event in their life where they suffered really just horrific abuse at the hands of some adult or you just find out that something really, really, truly horrible happened to them at a very, very young age in most cases. And it was almost like this is the way that their psyche survived was to then perpetrate this thing that scared them so that it was almost like, okay, well, you know, this is where we have to go now in order to survive the fact that it happened to you. So many of them. And it's chilling. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't like reading these stories because I don't even like wrapping my brain around that. But, mm-hmm. you know, but some of the worst and the most violent, gruesome serial killers throughout history had horrors done to them. And it's sort of what led them there, you know. So whenever you see someone who's doing something, you always have to have that hunch in the back of your mind, there's something not right with this person's life. There's something. Now, they could come from a very loving home. It doesn't always point to the people around them.
Right,
it could be
right.
Alcohol imbalance. It could be their diet. It could be a number of different things. They could have like we were talking the other day about, you know, genetic predisposition.
Disposition, yeah.
That cause brain not to function properly, things like that. You know, so it doesn't
disconnect.
Necessarily
mean. Yep. Well, you're exactly right. And, of course, there's also been so many studies done in the last, I'm going to say, probably 20 years in regard to just that. They've analyzed psychopathic killers who there was no rhyme or reason for anything that they did. But, you know, I've lost quite a few nights of sleep. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I told the story about the woman that took the girl from the park and her and her boyfriend just mutilated her and did all kinds of stuff to her, and it was awful, and she is on death row now. And when they started analyzing some of the things that she had already done and things that had happened to her, it just didn't happen overnight. That's why I think about this young woman. It didn't happen overnight. I mean, she gave birth to a child, and the child ended up dying on her watch. And they wrote in the report there were some suspicious things, but nothing happened to her. She had another child. And then when somebody finally realized what was going on, and somebody had time on their hands or was learning how to be, something in the judicial system, a lawyer or something, she started researching what happened to this woman herself. And it was horrific. The story that they told, like, I still have nightmares about it. And I'm thinking to myself, and then I see this story today, and like I said, my initial reaction was, thank God, finally somebody's paying attention and doing something about this. And then my mind went to this pretty little girl with the long dark hair that I watched womping on this other girl, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell's the matter with her? Did anybody look to find out why she was, you know, first of all, so mean, second of all, an exhibitionist, third of all, what's the word I want? She planned it all out. What's the word I'm trying to think of? She was
premeditated,
but there's another word that I'm thinking about that means you really think things through and in your mind. I can't think of what the word is. I'm getting so damn old. But it's like, you know, like the plotting part of it, to even go through how it's going to affect other people if she puts it on video so all the other kids can see it. Is it because she wants all the other kids to be afraid of her? Is it because she's the same thing's happening to her in some part of her life? So my mind instantly went to, instead of not doing anything in the long run, because once it got overturned, she's back in school now, and is not, so nothing happened to her. So what's going on behind the closed doors? Yeah, I you know, because all I can think of is this other woman that I read about, and the more I delve into things, I see hundreds of thousands of people who never get to tell their story and never get any kind of justice, and it's heart-wrenching.
Right. Well, see, the whole thing is that I agree that she shouldn't have been expelled, but she certainly shouldn't have nothing happen to her.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like they're going from extreme to extreme. They can't figure out what to do with her, so they either try to put something in motion that's really not the appropriate answer. It was good for everybody else that she was mean to, but it certainly wasn't appropriate for her. And then they go to the other extreme, and now they're doing something that's really not good for her and certainly not good for the people that she was beating up on. Doing nothing is not the answer. And, you know, the superintendent comes in and says, you know, well, we have to let her back in school. Okay, let her back in school. But there has to be something. Does she have to go to counseling? Does she, you know, so what happens? She just goes back to school like nothing?
That's what happened.
Ineffectual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, and when you talk about rights, rights, in my opinion, are not negotiable. That means that you get rights and I don't, or I get rights and you don't, or Larry, Moe, and Curly don't get any rights, but Hannibal Lecter does. I don't understand how set a ground rule that only is a ground rule when we want it to be.
So you have the right of someone to feel safe going to school, and you have the right of another person to get an education. So now they're making her right to an education supersede her victim's right to go to school and be safe.
For
so
safety.
Who makes that determination as to which right supersedes what right? They didn't think it through properly.
Yeah. No. No, 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 not even a little bit. Well, and this, of course, coincides with what we talked about the other night as well, and that's setting precedents. That's like, okay, now you've done it this time, so now the next time a 16-year-old guy, beats somebody up and they're in intensive care for 3 or 4 weeks and they get, let's don't make them 16 because 16 laws change. That's another thing that I find to be amusingly unorganized. But let's say they're 15 and they really hurt somebody badly and that person may suffer the consequences of that beating for the rest of their lives. So he not only can't now because precedence has been set because he has the right to an education. He can't be thrown out of the schools forever. Nothing can really happen to him. And that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, nor does that balance out in any way. So the point is that all for one and one for all, like the Three Musketeers used to say, everything has to fit everybody, and very sadly, there's no one-size-fits-all. So rules and regulations in regard to this particular topic will probably never, ever work because of all of the extenuating circumstances. What we have to do is we have to teach our kids, our young people, our little people, we have to teach them to stand strong on their own 2 feet. If somebody is harassing them, they have to address that person. They have to say, are you mad at me? Don't you like me? What did I do to you? They can keep it as simple as they want to. The words don't have to be fancy. They don't have to sound overly mature. All they have to do is say, why are you picking on me? What did I do to you? Very, very simply. Not whining, not acting like you're scared. Just say, did I do something to you that you're mad at me? Why are you picking on me? And see if they can't learn to deal with all the things that are going to come to them in their life that are uncomfortable and not easy to do. Because trust me, there will be lots of those times, lots and lots of those times. And the sooner you learn to stand up for yourself and to face that problem, whether it's a bully, whether it's a job that you're afraid to tackle, whether it's anything, whether it's a girl you're afraid to talk to, you guys, or anything, you can't get help doing that. And you can't walk around, you can't pay a bully 25 cents a day in these days and times to protect you. You have to learn how to take care of yourself. And you can do that without participating in the game of hatred and the game of abuse and by standing on your own and saying, you know, I don't know what I did to you, but, you know, I don't hate you, so why are you so angry with me? And first of all, you will throw them for a loop. They won't know what to say to you next, and you'll also take all the fun out of it because now you haven't volleyed the ball back over the net, so you're not going to play the game. So, my Shelley is back. I lost her for a little bit. Are you there now?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here now.
The world of cell phones. We can't live with them and we can't live without them. So I want to thank everybody tonight. And I may not be on the air tomorrow night, Shelley. Something has come up here at home and I may not be able to be here. But I will of course let you know by phone. But the rest of you, I will put something online by the middle of the day tomorrow to let everybody know whether I'll be on the air. As you know, I'm doing only live shows. I've decided. I got a lot of feedback on doing recorded shows, and a lot of people said they like to know. And I said, why? Hardly any of you call in. And they said, yeah, but it's nice to know that you're there. If we want to call in, you're there for us to talk to. If it's not live, you know,
right.
What's the sense
right.
of hearing you? Because you might say something that I want to question you, and it made sense to me, so I said, okay. So I will let everybody know, though, tomorrow. We'll see what happens. So thanks, Shell. I hope you get home at a decent hour.
Yep, I'm halfway there.
Okay, good. All right. Good night, everybody. From my heart to yours, this is Renee. Good night and God bless. Night, Shelly Belly.
Good night, Renee. Good night, everyone.